Welcome to Serotalk Tech Chat. This is Michael Law for July 2nd, 2009. And tonight we're doing the show that I'm sure many wanted last week, but we first wanted to address the importance and significance of the iPhone. But tonight we're going to get into some of the nitty-gritty, how it works, what it does well, maybe a few limitations of the first version of it, and some third-party applications that people are using. A few quick things before we get started. Please monitor Serotalk.com and the Socializer for audio from the various conventions. I will be at ACB in Orlando. Ricky will be at the NFB in Detroit, and we will be using some technology to get audio between us, and I will be posting interviews and man on the streets and any new innovations that we should find. Also, there are three Serotech specials going on this week during the conventions. The first is, and again, these run from midnight tonight, July 3rd at midnight Eastern, until July 10th at noon Eastern. First, we have the MSI Wind with a copy of System Access for $399. We also will be selling the new MSI AE1900. It's what they call a wind top. It's kind of a one-piece device, and you have icons that you can use touch-sensitive for performing different applications, but it also has the keyboard and mouse that you can attach and use it as well. But it does have the Atom processor, so similar to a netbook, but designed different, a little greater display and DVD burning capabilities. But you'll be able to get that device along with a copy of System Access on it, the Atom license, for $6.99. And finally, if you purchase SA Mobile, which of course is two machine licenses for your computer this week, along with a third license giving you the U3 access, purchase that at the regular price of $499 this week, and you'll be registered to win a Lenovo IdeaPad S10. Pretty nice little netbook device. So three cool things going on this week. And of course, listen to Serotalk.com. Go to the website and follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Serotalk. And we'll try to share with you everything we can find when we can break away from the booth. But what you came for tonight, we are speaking tonight. Our special guest, we thank Mr. Shane Jackson for joining us from Sweet Home, Alabama. And we're going to talk about the iPhone. First, let's talk about some things that this phone does that you have seen from no other phone previously.
Well, number one, the cool thing about this phone is Safari. And we're all still getting used to the whole idea of the touchscreen and interacting with, you know, the different things and typing and all that good stuff. But Safari actually renders the pages as the Mac would render the pages pretty much, and I'm assuming as the Windows PC would render the pages, rather than the mini, what you call the mini pages that a Windows mobile phone does. It provides a lot more access to the page than Internet Explorer does, such as heading information, better interaction with forms, and of course I'm speaking of Pocket Internet Explorer here. And web browsing is much faster on this platform than it ever was for me on Windows Mobile. That's one thing. There are some more applications to this phone that Windows Mobile doesn't have, or either that or you have to get a third-party application. For instance, this one has the weather app built right on your home screen. It has stock updates right on your home screen. It has the compass, which works. It has the iPod built right in. It has visual voicemail, which means you don't have to dial into your voicemail. You just click it and it'll tell you, you know, who called, and then you can get the messages, that sort of thing. It's just a different operating environment than Windows Mobile. And the big thing is we don't have to buy a screen reader anymore because it's actually included as part of the OS. So that's just a few things. I'm sure there are more.
Well, not only do we not have to buy a screen reader, but I understand there's some GPS options on the horizon for as low as $100. What do you know about that?
Well, that's the rumor. We're hearing everything from you know, $10, $20, $30 to $100, maybe $129. I'm just hearing rumors. That's all we've got right now, but it's definitely not going to be $895, I can tell you that. And it will work very nicely. The GPS in the iPhone has been used since it came out in the 3G version. It was not in the first iPhone, but it was in the 3G, and it's now in the GS. It's a good, reasonably good GPS system, and so we're very hopeful. There are actually some cool little apps right now that you can use that will actually tell you what's around you and It'll get your location. Matter of fact, a lot of the apps on this phone will try and get your location using the GPS. Like I know the camera does. I think Twiddlator Pro does. I know a bunch of programs will actually try to get your location. There are a couple of apps. I think one's 99 cents, one's free. And they'll just tell you, you know, what's around you and what's near you. Now that brings up a whole other issue. These are third-party apps, by the way. These are not from Apple. One of the big concerns of the blind community was, will there be third-party apps that will work with VoiceOver? Well, we have a huge list right now of apps, and I say huge, you know, 40, 50 apps that we know of, and all of us are testing different apps. So that list is growing on a daily, sometimes half-daily basis. It was small a couple of days ago. It was large yesterday, and I found a couple of apps today that are going to maybe go on it, and I'm sure there's a few more people out there that have apps. So the list of third-party apps is growing more and more as we speak.
The Mark Taylor post. I'm just curious because in one sense he's saying don't get it. In another sense he's saying it's the greatest thing he's played with. And I'm just curious if you have any comments about that particular article because a lot of people are basing opinions on it.
Number one, I think Mark is a great guy, and I think his reviews are pretty top-notch. I do think that that one was a little off target, because he says that he would not recommend it to business owners or business users. Now, again, I want to respect his opinion, and if that's his opinion, I can't change it, but I do have a business here, or I do have business practices, and I do have interaction on a daily basis with sighted users, and I do use my phone. My poor Epix is sitting over there collecting dust and is up for sale. So I use my iPhone for everything mobile, everything portable. As a matter of fact, there are places I used to take my computer that I don't anymore because I've become so reliant on the iPhone. Is it perfect? No way. Is it ever going to be perfect? No way. But it has replaced my Windows Mobile phone. I would never go back to Windows Mobile unless something very significant happened. Not criticizing Windows Mobile, because it's certainly, the Epix is certainly an outstanding phone. And if you do prefer the Windows Mobile platform, go for it. The Epix is one of the best, and I'm sure the Samsung Jack is as well. There's some good Windows Mobile stuff. I've just been waiting for the iPhone for a couple of years, and Mike, one of the reasons Mac users want the iPhone is because we don't have to use Windows to install the iPhone, configure the iPhone, update the iPhone. We use our Macs, and we can't do that with a Windows Mobile phone. You either have to be running Fusion on your Mac, or you have to run somebody else's Windows computer in order to install the program and get it up and running. So for Mac users, this was a dream come true, and I'd say most Mac users went directly from their Windows Mobile phones to the iPhone. So I do disagree with Mark, and I disagree in the spirit of great respect. There are some who would agree with him, and I think that's great. There's room for both of us.
I do want to share this experience because I've had the phone for about 11 days, but only last night did I get full functionality after restoring the factory defaults. So anyway, I went with factory defaults. It addressed a number of issues. Have you heard, Shane, of other people having issues or the need to do that, or maybe a few little glitches in the first iteration of the iPhone?
Well, it's just like any other device. You're going to get bogged down sometimes, and a simple reboot, sometimes a simple reset. And this is a warm reset. It's not deleting anything, not hurting anything. All it is just recalibrating, basically. And so I did it today just to do it. I haven't had to, but I did it today just to do it, and it seems to function okay. I'm glad it worked for you, and I've heard of it working for others. Glitches, yeah, certainly Apple is going to have to address some things and add some things as we go along. But folks, remember, this has only been out 2 weeks, and this is Apple's first stab at an accessible phone. I think this is absolutely magnificent. There's certainly room for improvement, Mike, but the good news about that is, no matter what they do, and no matter how great they make the iPhone or any other device, there's always going to be room for improvement. I mean, there's room for improvement in anything that we use today, and the touchscreen is the future. I know that some are very hesitant to adopt that, and I certainly understand. But I'm not hesitant because I do understand that the touchscreen is where everything is going. And I do also hope that Apple will come out with some sort of mini keyboard that you'll be able to attach either by Bluetooth or by the dock. There are endless possibilities. If you watch the Apple keynote, which was 2 hours long, and it was really ridiculous in its length, if you watch that or listen to it, you would have seen that there were so many possibilities for the iPhone and what it could do thanks to the software built in 3.0, all the development features and the extensions added to the development kit. The SDK, which is downloadable and ready to go. The way they develop applications on the iPhone is not much different at all from the way they develop applications on Mac OS X. And a matter of fact, this is Mac OS X running on the iPhone. It's just called iPhone OS 3 because it's, you know, the iPhone adaptation of OS X. And even the sounds are the same. There are endless possibilities, and this is just the first incarnation, the very first showing by Apple. And I've got to tell you, they did a magnificent job, and I applaud them for what they've done here.
Have any comments on extending the battery life, whether it's purchasing the Mophie pack or just tips of options you can disable to kind of prolong the battery life?
The battery has been a problem since the first generation iPhone. Okay, I want to make that clear. Everybody's fussing at the 3GS. Don't do that because that's incorrect. This has been an issue since the first iPhone came out several years ago. The 3G simply made it worse, and the 3GS actually is better than the 3G. But what you can do, you can turn Wi-Fi off when you're not using it. As a matter of fact, I don't use it for the most part because I use 3G. And when AT&T goes up to its new 7.2 megapixel download, you're really not going to need Wi-Fi unless you're using a super-duper Wi-Fi connection. But anyway, make sure your Bluetooth radio is off. You know, just common sense stuff will prolong the battery. There are plenty of battery solutions for the iPhone out there. Plenty of sighted people use those because VoiceOver is not the culprit here. I hear people saying that VoiceOver is the problem with the battery. No, that's not the case because VoiceOver is not actually functioning as a separate screen reader on this phone, Michael. VoiceOver is built in to OS X, so that's not causing the problem. It's the battery in the iPhone. It always has been. It always will be until they address it some way, and I really don't know how they're going to do that at this point with a device so thin and so small as the iPhone. I don't know what they're going to do, but batteries are getting smaller and smaller, so they'll figure that out. But, all the iPhones have this issue, so VoiceOver is not the culprit. I've done tests here with VoiceOver off and VoiceOver on, and the battery drain has been the same, depending on what I'm doing. And also, there's a huge discrepancy between different users as to the battery drain. Those who use Wi-Fi more are going to have very, very different battery results than those of us who don't. Those of us who listen to a lot of Audible and a lot of iPod stuff are going to have a different battery drain than somebody that doesn't use a lot of Audible. So there are a bunch of variables. Fortunately, most of them have nothing to do with VoiceOver.
Well, before we take our questions, why don't we go ahead and do what I'm sure many were waiting for, to actually hear a demo of this device in action.
All right.
Unlock button.
All right. Let's open it up.
Unlock button.
Now, I'm using gestures here.
Double tap to open.
And she's giving me hints. She says, phone.
Phone. Double tap to open.
Double tap to open. Those hints can be turned on and off. I leave them on for now, simply as a comfort zone. This screen is lined up in five rows of four. So there are several ways of getting around the iPhone, and my screen is going to say locked in just a second, okay, because it's set to lock every minute if I don't touch it. So it'll lock, and we'll unlock it again. But the point is, you have a screen here, the home screen, with five rows of four. There are several ways to get around. You can tap your way around the screen. I'll demonstrate that.
Messages.
Tap.
Double tap. Camera. Double tap. Voice memos. Double phone. Double tap to open. iPod.
I'm just tapping parts of the screen. If you feel more comfortable dragging your finger across the screen, you can certainly do that. I've got new mail. I'll drag my finger across the screen now, just holding my finger down on the screen.
Messages.
And
calendar. Photos. Camera. Weather. YouTube, voice memos.
Now you're hearing that little
double tap to
bonk,
open.
Bonk, bonk. That means a blank area of the screen is all that is. And if you hear too many of the bonk, 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 bonk real fast, you take your finger up for a second because it thinks you're trying to drag something. That's fine. But then there's the swiping method where you like swat a fly. You know, you take your finger and swat. And this is how that works.
Notes, clock, calculator, settings, iTunes, App Store.
Just swatting my way across.
YouTube.
Apple calls it flicking.
Double tap, stocks. Maps, weather, voice memos, weather.
Now this is the weather
app. Double tap to open.
I want to double tap this and open it up, and we're going to find out what the temperature is where I live in Birmingham.
Weather alert. Select a Wi-Fi network.
Now, you notice it wants me to select a Wi-Fi network. I don't want to use a Wi-Fi, so I'm going to go to cancel. I'm going to swipe.
Two wire 099. Jorky. Flight.
It's listing the
cancel
wireless button. Networks in my area. I'm going to hit cancel. Double tap.
Birmingham, high 88 degrees Fahrenheit.
Now.
Low 67 degrees Fahrenheit.
What we're going to do, I know where the
Birmingham, high 88 degrees Fahrenheit, low 67.
Now, we're in the Birmingham area, so we're gonna start swiping, and listen to this.
Currently, partly cloudy. Currently, 82 degrees Fahrenheit.
She's telling me what temperature is here. It just updated, and how do I know that? If I go down here to the bottom right.
Edit cities. Button.
It says edit city.
Page 3 of 3. Edit city. Updated. July 2nd, 2009. 8:18 p.m.
July 2nd, 2009. 8:18. That's when it updated last. Now, edit city.
Edit cities. Button.
What this is, Mike and everybody, if you want to change the city, by default, you get Cupertino, which is where Apple is. So you have to go in here and edit it, and you type in your city name, and it came up with Birmingham, Alabama, Birmingham, Michigan. There were some Birminghams, and I just selected Birmingham, Alabama, and that's the city that I'm in, so that's fine. Okay, so we'll just press the home key to go out of the weather. Oh, and by the way, in this weather app, you can actually see the forecast for the different days. So let's go back here.
Birmingham, high 88 degrees Fahrenheit.
Now.
Look, currently, Thursday partly cloudy, high 88 degrees Fahrenheit, low 67 degrees Fahrenheit, Friday clear and sunny. High 89 degrees Fahrenheit, low 67 degrees Fahrenheit. Saturday partly cloudy. High 93 degrees Fahrenheit, low 74 degrees Fahrenheit.
See, she'll go through the week, and she'll give you the 7-day forecast. So we can certainly do that. Let's exit out of here with the home key.
Home. Weather. Double tap to open.
Now, the home key took me back to the home screen, and weather was the last thing I'd selected. So it actually took me back to weather. Now, let's see.
Settings. Voice memos.
Let's see if the voice memo works. I'm going to be very brave here.
Memo.
This is the voice memo app.
Dim it. EU meter. Dim. EU meter. Show recording. Button. Record. Button.
Okay, there's the record button. So I'm going to hit enter, double tap here.
Pause. Highlight.
And we just heard the beep there, and we're on Serotech recording a podcast, and we hope you enjoy the demonstration. Thank you very much. And now we're gonna.
Here, dim, image, pause, button, stop, button.
Stop recording.
Show recordings, button.
Show recording.
Recordings.
And we just button. Heard the beep. That... Sorry, I caused it to stop.
Here, and we're on Serotech recording a podcast, and we hope you enjoy the demonstration. Thank you very much. And now we're gonna.
And there you go. So that's a little recording. Now I'm gonna.
Voice memos. Done. But pause. 8 more info. 8:25 a.m. June. Not more info. 8:25. More info. Delete. Button.
Delete it.
Delete. Delete voice memo. Button.
I want to do that, so I'll confirm it with the double tap.
Delete voice speaker. Button.
And it's gone.
Home.
We'll use the
voice
home
memos.
Key.
Double
and
tap.
The home key took us back to the home screen. That was a voice memo feature. Let's see if we can get the compass to work.
Compass. Double
tap.
Compass, 133 degrees east.
Now, here we are in the compass. Now, this is a fun app.
Map current location, button. Settings, button. 33 degrees, 25 minutes, 27 seconds northern latitude. 86 degrees, 48 minutes, 17 seconds western longitude.
How about that?
Map, 123 degrees east.
Now, I'm going to turn the phone around, shake it a little, and let's see where we are.
8:22 p.m. State 3G. State 8:22 p.m.
Whoops.
3G. Status bar item. Map current location. Button. 298 degrees west.
Oh, see, we're facing the opposite direction there. And again, this is the touch screen, so if your finger moves like my big fingers do, sometimes you hit the wrong thing. And let me hit the home key here and get out of the compass. That works. We can go north, south, east, west, northeast, southeast, all that.
Home.
Now.
Compass.
Up top, on the very top of the phone here, you have status bar icons. For instance, this is very important to blind users.
64% battery power. Status
Ooh,
bar item.
Man, talk about that battery. And on the left side, I'm just hitting it with my finger.
5 bars. Signal strength.
5
status
bars.
Status bar item. AT&T network. Status bar item. 8:23 p.m. AT&T network. AT&T network. 8:23 p.m.
I want her
status
to tell me.
5 bars. Signal strength. AT&T network. 3G. Status
yeah,
bar
there
item.
You go. 3G. Those are very small, and my fingers are big. 3G. See, if I'm up in my dad's house, it would say edge, and I've done that, so it does say edge. So we've demonstrated that. How about we go into
phone, double tap to open, mail, five new items.
The mail program.
Double tap to open.
Double tap.
Mail, Gmail, button.
Now, the best way to view mail, and it just checked again, the best way to do mail is to actually, I want to check the messages and delete everything first before I go back and read my mail. Now, this is the way sighted people do it on the iPhone, too, because it's much easier. I'll show you. Let's go into edit.
Gmail button.
I'm going to swipe here.
Inbox. Sick. Edit button.
There's the edit button. So double tap it.
Cancel. Highlighted.
Cancel. Button. Highlighted. Now, if you double tap right here, you'll go back out into the mail program. So let's swipe across.
Search inbox. Text Pete. Alice Dantman. Read. Maureen Young. Blind Addict. Okay, okay. 8:16 p.m.
Now, that's an email I want to delete.
Maureen Young.
So I just double tapped it.
David Tanner. Problem
double tap it.
FT, David Chittenden.
Double read, tap it.
I hope to. David John Gunn. Read. I hope to get my
double
iPhone.
Double tap it.
John May and Winter.
Double tap
read,
it.
I may delete five button.
Delete five items. So I'll delete this.
Updated. July 2nd, 2009, 8:24 p.m.
And she told me when the last mail check was, and I deleted all my messages. Had I wanted to leave one, I wouldn't have double-tapped on it. I would have gone back out into the mail app by hitting the done button.
Gmail button.
That's
compose button. Compose.
Well, I'm back out of it because I deleted it. I wouldn't have gone out of it. I would have had to, if there was one still in there, I would have had to hit done. And now that I'm back out, I would have been able to double-tap that message in the actual program and read it. And it reads just fine. You can read the subject, the header, the from, the to, all that sort of stuff. And, you know, when it was sent, and then it'll read the message to you. And you can actually read by character or word. What they've done here is they've created a rotor which functions like a dial. Take two fingers and you put them on the iPhone and you turn them like a dial. So it says
words.
Words.
Characters.
Characters. This is what it does in most apps. And what you can do is swipe up and down, and it'll read by character or by word.
Double tap to open.
And I just took it back out to the home screen. It will read by character or by word. Now, when you go to the web, you can actually, when you use the rotor with your two fingers turning like a radio dial or like a little wheel, you can actually go between characters, words, headings, visited links, unvisited link, that sort of thing. And so let's see if we can't go into Safari.
iPod.
Whoops.
Safari.
And I beg you to forgive me here.
Safari, loading.
I am using the iPhone with one hand for demonstration purposes for you guys. And it's going to be hard for me to type.
Address, loading 86%. Edit, stop, button, Google, search, back, button, forward, web page loaded, CNN, com address. www.cnn.com/lib/http://www.cnn.com/lib/text-field-is-editing.
All right, so there you go. Let's see if we can type in something here, and I'm going to do this to the best of my ability.
A F W W W W B more numbers shift.
All right, www.
More. Period. S.
S.
S. B. 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 R. R. P. P. I. O. O. R. T. T. W. B. B. O. P. L. K. L. Delete. Delete. K. O. L. K. Period. Period.
Uh-oh. Let me delete this.
Delete. Delete.
And I'll show you why I delete the period, because there's a
dot com.
There's a dot com right there.
Dot com.
All right. So I selected that.
Go.
I don't know if it'll actually go to it. We'll see.
Bookmarks. Button. Tabs. Button. Web page.
Yeah. Here we go.
We are not just bringing the world to you. We are bringing copyright 2009 Saradec Corporation, all rights reserved.
How about that? We're just
privacy
swiping?
Policy, link. Copyright 2009, we are not just bringing the world at Saradec. Training solutions, link, image.
Now, I want to change to headers, and let's see if Saradec's got any headers. Now, let's
Form elements. Links. Headers.
Headers. Now I'm going to swipe down. All right, I don't see any.
Come to at the NFB and ACB conventions this summer. Even if you can't make it, you can take part in our special offers to read more. Links.
Okay, all right, so I don't see any headers.
Words.
So I'm going to go.
Headers. Links. Form elements. Links.
How about this?
About us. Link. Careers. Link. Saradek blog. Link. KK12. Link. Link. Image. Software solutions. Link.
Go in by link. By link.
Link. Image.
So that's a little demonstration of the web browser, and it will read the page to you. Like if I swipe up with two fingers, it'll read me every link from here.
Welcome to Saradek. Address. Saradek.com. Edits the URL. Reload. Button. Google. Search. Text field. Auto correction on. Double tap to edit. Home. Link. Products. Link. Testimonials. Link. Contacts.
Now, the reason it's reading links.
Headers. Words.
Is because I have the rotor set to links. Now that I'm reading words, let's see if it reads any differently.
Welcome to Saradek. Address. Saradek.com. Edits the URL. Reload. Button. Google. Search. Text field. Auto correction on. Double tap to edit. Home. Link. Products. Link. Testimonials. Link. Contacts. Link. Media center. Link. Links. Link. Login. Link. Image. News. Come visit Saradek at the NFB and ACB conventions this summer. Even if you can't make it, you can take part in our special offers July 3rd through 10. Read more. Link. Image. About us. Link. Career.
And I'll double tap it to stop it. And that's a little web browsing for you. And I'm actually surprised that I was able to type in www.saratek.com without any hassle. And the heavenly bodies were smiling on us tonight. Okay, so I'm going to hit the home key and exit out of here. And that's a little bit of a web browsing experience. You really can't.
Safari.
You really can't get an idea of what it's like on a tech chat like this.
Jesse Hernandez.
And of course, Jesse Hernandez has to send me a message because he wants to get his name out on this podcast. And so we're going to go ahead into the messaging app.
Reply button.
And we're already there. And let me see.
Reply.
There we go.
Messages. Messages. Jesse Hernandez. Edit button. Call button.
We're swiping across.
Contact info button. July 2nd. 2000. Buddy message. Hi, Shane. I am listening. Good work.
Yeah, I knew you were.
Send. Dim.
Now, if I want to send him a message,
text field.
I can go right here.
Auto tap on.
And it says
double tap to edit.
Double tap to edit. I'm in the edit field, so I'm going to double tap.
Space.
Now I can answer him. So let's do this.
Capital D. Capital R. Capital E. Capital R. Capital Y. Capital T. Capital T. G. H. H. A. A. Space. N, B, J, J, A, D, S, S.
And I just said thanks, and I'm going to go to send.
Messages, button, call, contact in July 7th, buddy, send, button.
Double tap,
auto
and hang
connection.
On.
Thanks.
You just heard the whoop. That means it sent it, and Jesse received it. Jesse, don't send me a reply. But Jesse heard it, and he received it. Get out of the messaging app, back to the home screen. Now, the thing about the messaging, it appears in a conversation view. So I can go back and view Jesse's message, my message. I can delete it by message. I can delete it by conversation. And all I have to do is go into the edit button again, just like in mail, find the message, find the delete switch next to it, and delete it. And so that's a little bit of the messaging app, and I really appreciate Jesse, like I said, I sort of knew he was going to do that, and I appreciate him doing that.
iPod.
Okay, I'm going to double tap on the iPod.
iPod. Audible. Button.
Now, it went to Audible because this is the last place I was. I want to do the playlist.
Playlists. Button.
And I know that that's in the bottom left of the screen, so I'm going to I just selected it by tapping it. Now I'm going to double tap.
Playlists.
Let's go to artists.
Search. Genius. On the go. Purchased. Playlists. Artists. Button.
Artist. I'll double tap that.
Artists.
All right. Let's see if we can find an artist.
Search. Aaron Neville.
ABBA. How about ABBA? Everybody knows ABBA. Double
ABBA.
Tap.
Select artists. Button.
Let's go find a good song.
Go. Search. Shuffle. Dancing Queen.
That's my personal favorite. Can we do Dancing Queen? Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to double tap it, and I'm not going to let this play any more than 30 seconds, certainly probably not even that much because of copyright, but I'll let it play enough that you know what it is, and then I'll stop it with a two-finger double tap, just like when you answer a call or receive or hang up a call. When you're in the iPod, double tapping with two fingers either stops or starts the iPod. So I'm going to hit double tap on Dancing Queen, or if I had my finger on Dancing Queen, I could just tap any area of the screen. As long as my finger is sitting on the item, I can tap another area of the screen, and Dancing Queen would start playing the same way. I use the double tap method. It's just something I've gotten used to. But there are many ways of doing things on the iPhone. My way is not the only way. So here we go.
Take a chance on me.
Well?
Knowing me. Dancing Queen.
Yeah.
Abba. Dancing Queen.
Double tap, stop it. Let's see.
Back, album tracks, album art, image, 1 of 19.
All right, let's back up.
Back, button. Back,
let's go find
button.
Another song.
Go, now playing, button, search, shuffle, Dancing Queen, knowing me.
And you hear shuffle, you can actually have it shuffle. I hate that feature. I don't like it to shuffle, but plenty of people do.
Take a chance on me.
Take a chance on me. Here's another favorite.
If you change your
take mind, a chance on me. Chance, I just silence speech by tapping it one time. Me, double tap with two fingers.
Abba. Abba. Take a.
And.
Back. Button.
We're back into back. The main area.
Artists. Button.
I noticed the playlist button is in the bottom left.
Playlists. Button.
Tap it.
Playlists. Playlist.
We're back out. Let's see here.
Now play it. Search. Genius. On the go. Purchased. Playlists. Artists.
I'm back in
button.
My playlist.
Songs. Videos. More. Button.
There's a more button. Do you hear artists, songs, and video? Let's tap the more button. Double tap.
More. So
what do we got
button.
In here?
More. Now playing. But albums. Audiobooks. Compilations. Composers. Genres. Podcasts. Playlists. Artists.
And you're back button. To normal. There you go. So, Mike, that's a demonstration of the audio, the iPod, and there is also
iPod. Double tap to open.
Once you're in a podcast or in a audiobook, there is, if you will double click on something that says album art image, it pops up a bar where you can actually rewind by 30 seconds, speed it up to double speed, half speed, regular speed. Track. You can get your track position like 10 minutes, 5 seconds. Or 1 hour, 3 minutes, 10 seconds, you can swipe up and down on that track position bar, and it'll move you through in big increments. And so, technically, if you get lost in an audible book, you can move up till you find sort of your place, and then back up a couple of notches, and you'll be right where you started off. So that's another feature of the iPod. Now, I can't demonstrate the camera on here, but I will tell you that the camera is pretty cool because you can actually take photos and videos because there's an autofocus feature built in here that helps you just point and shoot. So a blind person will get a reasonable
can
get
locked.
And my screen just locked, and that's a good thing. But a blind person can actually shoot a reasonably accurate photo and a reasonably accurate video. I've actually recorded video, and the sound is really good, considering that I'm using computer speakers. The iPhone speaker is absolute crap, and that's fine. It's only meant to be used as a speakerphone. It's not meant to play music. It's not meant to do anything. It's a speakerphone is all it is, so it's crap. So you hook up your standard 3.5 millimeter, 3/8 or 1/8 inch jack headphones, no adapter, no pigtail, nothing. And I've got to tell you, I've used Symbian phones. I've used Windows mobile phones, mobile speak. And I've used this, and for the first time since I've owned a cell phone back in 1994, I'm able to actually use headphones to talk to people on the phone with my hearing loss, with no hearing devices, no hearing aids, nothing. It's that loud. You can change the volume independently of the ringer. You can change ringtones. I've actually created my own ringtones. To give you a laugh, I have Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood as my standard ringtone, and yet when my beautiful wife, Abby, calls, it sings Close to You by the Carpenters, the original version. So I always know it's her. I don't have to hit the caller ID, but if I did want to hit the caller ID, I would just silence it with a press of the volume button, and then I would find the caller ID up on the top of the phone by dragging or tapping, and it would tell me. Now, one interesting thing that a lot of people don't realize, if you have speech muted with a triple finger double tap, or if you're in lock mode, hitting the volume button actually causes the phone to come back in speech mode. So if I let me go right here.
Unlock button. Speech off.
Speech off. And you'll notice if I tap, there's no sound. But if I hit the volume button,
speech on.
Speech automatically comes back on. So you don't have to do that triple finger double tap to turn speech back on. It's already there. So let me lock the screen.
Screen locked.
Now, to turn the phone off, you hold down the power button for about 4 seconds. It'll come up and say power off button. You can either click that button twice or you can hold the button a little longer. To turn the phone back on, you hold it down for about 5 seconds and wait for it to come on. VoiceOver comes on automatically if you have it set to do so. And you heard her say unlock. All I do to unlock the phone is double tap that unlock button and she comes up speaking. And this is the Samantha voice, as best I can tell. The reason they did not use Alex, because I know that's a question that's going to come up. The reason they did not use a higher quality voice is because they're so big and the processor is not quite strong enough to handle it yet. The next iPhone, I can pretty much bet, will be able to do that. Now, I personally am fine with this voice. Even with a hearing loss, it works great. So, Mike, that's a demonstration of several of the apps on the iPhone here. That's more than I was going to do, and I apologize, but I just figured people needed to see how it works and to see how I use it and how I interact with it. And it certainly, I will tell people that I was not much better at typing on the Windows Mobile platform. Now, I was on Symbian because I got used to the number tapping, you know, on the number pad, standard number pad, but I hated that, even though I was reasonably good at it. I didn't like it. I wanted a QWERTY keyboard. And so I'm as fast on this phone or faster than I was, and I'm glad I was actually able to take you on a trip through the Serotech website.
What are some of the third-party amps that you've added to your phone?
Fandango Movie Selector. In other words, it'll tell you what movies are playing. I haven't played with it a lot, but it's reasonably accessible. I think it's perfectly usable. There's also one called Now Playing. Also, the iPhone remote works great. Let's say you've got your big thumping bass system in the basement and you got 15 people out on your deck barbecuing and each one of them has an iPhone. Well, they can connect to your Wi-Fi network and they can control the iTunes down in the basement with their iPhones. You can even create your own jukebox using iTunes DJ and that sort of thing. So that works. The Bible works. I have the Bible in several versions. There are several different Bible apps that I've tested that works. All of that is accessible. I've also got Twitterlator Pro, which is a Twitter client. The two applications I was telling you about that provided a little bit of GPS functionality, I've actually got them downloaded, and they work really well. And as you know, some of the radio apps, I don't personally use them. Wonder Radio, Pandora actually works on the iPhone. There's bunches of stuff that just works. Some idea of the types of third-party apps that I use. Now, as I say, there's a huge list over at lioncourt.com. There's a huge list of iPhone apps, about 44, 45, I think, that are working already to one degree or another with the iPhone. Some of them are just a matter of learning where buttons are, memorizing where buttons are. Oh, Fring also works on the iPhone to do Skype and all of the chat type things. Skype is not accessible yet. A lot of it is, but the contact view isn't yet, and I hope they're working on that. But you can use Skype through Fring. It seems to work very well. So the Facebook app also works on the iPhone. I've got it here. It actually works better than the Facebook website. And so a lot of people that were never using Facebook are doing so on the iPhone now.
Melissa, finding all of the options, especially under settings and things specific to VoiceOver like rate and so forth. You want to comment on that? Just settings?
Yeah, absolutely. The VoiceOver settings are in the, if you go into the settings of the phone, which settings is on the left side, probably in the dead center of your screen on the left side of your home screen. If you double tap settings and go over to general, and I use the swiping method. You can use any method you want to because they're laid out on the screen. I use the swiping method, and the general settings list is where you want to go. And then you want to go to accessibility and VoiceOver, and there's an on-off switch. Don't press that, please, because it will turn VoiceOver off and you're stuck. There's no way except to hook it back up to iTunes and turn it on again. Now, Samantha is set up so that you cannot change the pitch and you cannot change the tone. You can change the rate only. And I believe that's the way it is on any device, pretty much, with the way these voices are, Mike. I think you can only change the rate. But to change the rate, Melissa, you swipe up and swipe down with one finger, and that moves the volume slider or the rate slider. And once you make that setting, you go back and you find your settings button or your general button if you want to stay in that menu. You double tap it and come out of that dialog, and you're back in either the general or the settings dialog, wherever you tap. This also applies to the network settings and the airplane mode settings and other settings on the phone, sounds, ringtones, that sort of thing. They're all in these little menus under, or these little dialogues rather, under the settings part of the phone there. So that's the quick and dirty version.
Sometimes the position of icons changes depending on what you're doing.
The reason that is because different keyboards have different symbols. For instance, on the web, you've got a period, a colon, slash, a .com, you know, and no, folks, there's no .net, .org, .biz, they're just .com. So they chose the most common. That's why it changes, Mike. When you're making a call, all you want is the numbers to be displayed. And when you go into the message field, you've got an extra row where the space is and the period and the comma and all that. When you change from more letters to more numbers, you have different symbols. The icons in themselves never change. The icons on the home screen never change unless you change them, which I wouldn't advise a blind person to do that unless you just really need to. It can be done, but I really wouldn't. You have no need to. You're not sighted. You don't need to change the icon. They don't move. When you go into the settings dialog, the icons are the same. General, sound, wallpaper, brightness, airplane mode, they're all in the same place. They never move. Only the keyboards change depending upon what you're doing. If you're on the web, if you're in the messaging app, if you're in the mail app, if you're in one of the programs that you have that are third party, it might have a little bit different keyboard. That's as it's supposed to be because each keyboard's going to look a little different.
Catherine, she's wanting to know about GPS.
We are hearing rumors, and there are different people like Navigon, AT&T Navigator, which is $9.95 a month, which if you bought MobileSpeak Pocket for $8.95, it would take you 7 years of using AT&T Navigator to pay for that. I don't know if it's accessible yet. I'm not going to try it because I'm not paying AT&T any more than I already do. But we're hopeful that they're going to keep these satellite, these GPS apps under $100. Now, I can't guarantee that. I'm not speaking for anybody. That's just my guess and my hope. I've heard anywhere from $10 to $80 to $120. But still, folks, that's well worth the money. And with this location feature that the iPhone has with this compass and the accelerometer built into it, which I haven't even talked about, GPS is going to be wonderful on the iPhone when it finally happens, whoever does it. TomTom Go, I know, is supposed to come out with a hardware device that you plug into the dock port on your iPhone. And I don't know if it's going to be accessible or not, but we're going to hopefully get in touch with them and see if we can't make that accessible, because if they would make that accessible, that would be absolutely fantastic. And for anybody wondering, I did hear a reviewer on a Mac-related podcast that I listened to, the Mac Jury, talking about how he put his iPhone GPS up against his Garmin GPS system in his car. And the iPhone was just as fast as the Garmin. It picked up exactly the same information. So all these people that say that an external GPS is better than an internal GPS, well, I'm sure in a lot of cases or in specific circumstances it can be, but they've done a lot of work on these internal GPS. And if it is keeping up with the Garmin, it's doing pretty doggone good. So just hang in there, Catherine, and we're all working very hard, those of us who are first adopters and those of us who are on the cutting edge of this and who probably were foolhardy in getting it and are so glad we did. We're going to be on the forefront of this GPS stuff. We'll notify you via email as far as lists, podcasts like this, on blogs, on Twitter, on Facebook, anywhere we can notify people, because this is so exciting that it won't go unnoticed. You can believe it. So just hang in there with us, and we're going to do all we can to get an accessible GPS as soon as possible.
Don't you already have some methods for either determining where you currently are or mapping a route, even if it's not turn-by-turn directions or points of interest?
You just heard it tell me where I was a few minutes ago. So that I'm glad that happened in the demo. It actually told me my latitude and longitude. It told me where I was. It told me my exact location. And yeah, we have little programs in the iTunes store. Like one of them is called What's Around, and one of them is called Around Me. One of them's free. One of them costs 99 cents, which is free. Come on, folks. They'll give you basic points of interest. They'll give you where you are, that sort of thing. And that's brilliant, because we didn't have that when Windows Mobile first came out. Didn't have that when Symbian first came out. And we've got it on this phone. It'll tell you where you are. That can only get better. So, yeah, we've got very basic GPS here just from free apps. And by the way, both of those are third-party apps.
Unlocked version. They're kind of hard to find.
Yeah, you're not going to find any right now because the AT&T stores and the Apple stores are 14 days back ordered, at least last time I heard it. So good luck. The same thing in Canada, same thing in England.
Yeah, just wait a while and you can get an unlocked one. And then if you want to use it with T-Mobile, you can certainly do that. I don't know if the throughput on the bandwidth is as good.
No, definitely not.
Jess, your question, sir. He's asking about the SDK for the iPhone for developing applications.
The SDK is freely available right now, and as I said earlier, it's very similar to developing programs for OS X. Many, many, many similarities with that. And not being a developer myself, I don't want to go too deep because I have no clue what I'm talking about, but I will tell you that all it involves is adding voiceover code to your program. Usually, what we're finding, ladies and gentlemen, with these iPhone apps is the only problem with the program is a couple of unlabeled buttons. The rest of the program works great, except for maybe, you know, Skype's contact list, which all they'd have to do is add a little bit of code to make that accessible. Who knows whether Skype will do it or not. They're not known for quickly adding accessibility features. It usually takes them a while, but we'll see what they do. And yeah, it's usually a couple of buttons that are not labeled, and you can memorize those, but hopefully they'll label them. It's up to the developer. Apple has made it freely available. They have specified what needs to be done to make the app accessible, whether it be on the Mac or on the iPhone. It's up to the developer. And what we've found in the Mac community is most of these programs are developed either by small companies or single-person developers. And when you ask them to change their program to make it accessible, overwhelmingly, they have been friendly to that. We've had many examples of programs on the Mac that were made accessible just by an email to the person asking him to develop it for VoiceOver. And I'm assuming the same is going to be true for the iPhone, unless a program is just too entirely graphical. I mean, the games are never going to work to some degree. I hear that there are some accessible games, but the really intensive games, obviously, you know, like on the Mac and on the PC, are still out of our range. I don't want to say never. At this point, they're not going to work. There are some games that are working. I know, I think Hangman works. I think there's some trivia games that might work. I wish they hadn't taken the lightsaber off, you know, the Star Wars deal where you waved your iPhone around like a lightsaber. I wish they'd left that out. And I'm going to go look and see if they've actually put it back. I don't know if it works or not, but I'm going to find out.
What do you find the best way to find apps? My son pointed out to me early on that he thought it was a lot better to go to the iTunes store rather than playing around in the App Store.
Personal preference. Some people find the App Store on the iPhone actually far more friendly, and some people actually use the search feature in iTunes, especially Mac users. We use the search feature in the iTunes. Like today, I typed in "now playing," and the first option on my songs list when it came up with the search result was "now playing," and it rated 4+. And so I downloaded it onto the computer. The iPhone works so seamlessly with the Mac that you hook your phone up and it immediately adds those if you want it to, or it'll add the selected ones if you want it to. So that's personal preference. I prefer the iTunes method. I use the Mac to find them. But I do know plenty of people that are using their iPhone to actually find songs and applications and stuff. So it would be up to you which way you wanted to do it.
Speaking of searching, why don't you talk a little bit about the Spotlight? That was one of the big features in the latest software, is the ability to search your phone for various content that you already have.
Yes, that's correct. Search system-wide. You can search system-wide to find content, and that's all there is to it. Let's say the iPhone allows 20 icons per page, 11 pages. Once you get past that, you have to use Spotlight to find your application. I mean, let's hope you never get 220 applications on your phone, but if you do have 221 or 22, you'd want to use the search feature to do that. And if you hit the home key again from the home screen, it'll take you into the search field, and it'll search your email, it'll search your messages, it'll search your, you know, the iTunes, all that stuff to find the matching criteria. It's very handy. It's also neat, Mike, to note that there are, within each program, there's a search. So within iTunes, there's search. Within Mail, there's search. As a matter of fact, if I've got an artist that starts with U, I usually, rather than try to scroll all the way down there, just like using the old iPod wheel, I actually go in and enter the, like U-Roy. He's a Jamaican dub artist. I go in and type in U-R, and up comes U-Roy, and I double tap on U-Roy, and up he comes with the album and the song and all that. So the search feature is absolutely wonderful, both inside programs and system-wide.
Okay, can you give a little insight for people, either Windows or Mac, about importing the stuff on their computer, be it music or contacts or, you know, address book, different elements, how you can specify which items you bring into your phone.
Well, let me address it from the Mac side first, because that's my native OS. That's where I come from here. And you can certainly select what songs, you can select what albums, you can select what options, podcasts, photos, applications, all of that. You can tell it to import the ones you want and the ones you don't want. It'll also do your mail settings if you want it to. If you don't, it won't. It'll also import your IMAP or POP3, you know, your account settings, your filters, your rules, your all that stuff, your signatures. Like, I have two IMAPs and a POP account, and I actually have them all three imported into the iPhone because I chose to. On the Windows side, it would be very similar. Now, one thing I will say is, if you're going to add 3,000 contacts, which a lot of blind people have the ungodliest amount of contacts I've ever seen. I have maybe 40. But if you have 300 contacts, you don't want to do that by hand. So what you do is you load them all into Outlook. Hopefully, if you've got a Windows mobile phone, you can sync it with Outlook before you get your iPhone going. Plug your iPhone in and sync it with your Outlook, and your contacts will be down on your iPhone. Now, Mac users, it automatically syncs with iCal, address book, mail, iTunes, all of our information apps it syncs up with, and I'm assuming it does for Windows. I've told a lot of people, you know, sync up your contacts and your addresses and your email and all that with Outlook via your old Windows mobile phone. And if you don't have a Windows mobile phone or a Symbian phone and you are using Outlook as your contact manager, your iPhone should sync with that.
Okay, someone asked me before the show about an alarm application.
I can tell you that the reminder feature works where you have alarms, like if it's your birthday or if it's your wife's birthday, or if you got to go to the store and you need to go by a certain time, you can create alarms in the calendar. The calendar on the phone is very accessible. Matter of fact, it's better to use than any calendar I've ever used, Mac or Windows. And so the calendar's, you know, really cool.
Robert, okay, his two questions are, one, why you deleted the messages without reading them, and I think I know why, but the other question had to do with, can he import his addresses into the address book on the Mac from his Symbian phone, or will he have to type them by hand?
I can answer the first one better than the second one, because I haven't used Symbian since early 07, but I'll try to answer that too. The first one, why did I delete the messages without reading? Because I knew who they were from, and I knew the subject lines, and I didn't want to read them. That's the only reason I did not read them. Had there been one I wanted to read, I would have left it alone. I wouldn't have double tapped it. I would have finished up with those others, deleted them, and it would have taken me back to the mail application main screen, and then I could have read the message by double tapping it. There's not a done button, I don't think, in the message dialog. See, what happens when you type edit, you get a dialog, and you double tap on all the messages you want to delete, and that's exactly what I did. So that answers that question. As far as Symbian, I don't know of any way, unless you can, with PC Suite, if you could sync your Symbian addresses with Outlook, you could certainly then sync Outlook with your iPhone. If not, you would have to do it by hand, which I ran into this on Windows Mobile as well when I went from Symbian, when I went from the 6682 to the Singular 8525 at that time, or the AT&T 8525, which is the HTC Titan for our international listeners. I had to enter them by hand because Symbian would not transfer over to the Windows Mobile. And when I tried to use the SIM contacts, they didn't transfer correctly. So that's the long and the short of that one.
Okay, so let me ask you, what if you have both Windows and a Mac and you want to get some material from each? So there's a way, and there's something you can check in iTunes to not synchronize or prompt you each time so that you can get things from multiple machines?
I would assume there is, because iTunes has a checkbox for almost anything that you can send between the phone and the device it's getting from. Now, one thing I will say is iTunes on Windows tends to take over everything. So you have to make sure that your native players are active and that you can change them back to, for instance, Winamp for your MP3s, Windows Media for your WMA, or Klango if you use that. So iTunes does tend to take over, because on the Macintosh, that's pretty much all we use. Unless you want to use VLC player for Mac, I don't use that. iTunes is built into the OS, so it's part of the whole deal. And so iTunes for Mac users is not an issue. But for Windows, I can well understand how that would be an issue. And yeah, you could probably tell iTunes not to sync certain things, whether it be on the Mac side or Windows side. You can certainly control that. And if anything, you could put it on manual sync and sync it as you go. So there are many, many options to accomplish what you want to accomplish.
Hardware add-ons that you might recommend or just let people know of for the iPhone. I got a nice little email today talking about different cases for it and docks with stereo speakers and a Bose. I think that's a dock.
A lot of your iPod docks that work with iPods will work with the iPhone. You just have to see which one. There are also more and more hardware devices coming out for the iPhone. I know that the Mikey, the Blue Mic Mikey, I'm assuming that would work because all it is a dock. Anything pretty much that works with the iPod Nano 4G, the Shuffle, would work with the iPhone. Let me give you an example, a personal story here. The earbuds that come with the iPhone plug in to the 3.5-millimeter headphone jack, and they have an inline volume control, inline play pause, which also answers a call, hangs up a call, that sort of thing. And I didn't use it extensively, so I don't know all the functions, but there are buttons on it. And he has a microphone in line. This is in the earbud. This is the ones that work with the, when you plug them into the iPod Nano fourth generation, you actually get the voice memo on your iPod, which normally you don't get, you know, unless you have something plugged in. When you plug it into your iPhone, the iPhone is smart enough to use that microphone instead of the iPhone's mic. So it's very cool that works. And I'm assuming, as I said, the Blue Mic Mikey would work because it's just a dock thing. And there are more coming out daily. Pretty soon you're going to be able to do stereo recording with these dock additions. You're going to be able to do GPS. There's going to be a little GPS receiver that you attach via the dock. Gosh, there's going to be so many things. What I envision is hooking up with my little mixer to this thing one day because of the inputs, you know, on this little docking thing and having, complete stereo hi-fi coming through my iPhone or recording, you know, on my iPhone using the Voice Memo app. So the possibilities are endless, Mike.
I wanted to ask you, Shane, about, because I didn't do this right the other day, I got a call while I was on the phone with someone. It was cool because it gave me the caller ID, but I didn't properly transfer and I lost both calls. So can you talk about that process?
The caller ID will function when you get a call waiting. When you get a call like that, you double tap with your two-finger double tap, and that will take you to the new call, putting the old call on hold. When you're done with that, you either let them hang up or you double tap to close it. See, the thing that a lot of people have to realize is when you're on the phone with somebody that's on a cell phone, you don't actually have to hang up. They'll hang up and you can just wait 3 seconds and your phone's automatically gone. It's automatically hung up. That's a neat thing. Of course, if you hear somebody slam down the big receiver on the other end, you can double tap and hang up the call. But when you get back to that screen, there'll be a hold button somewhere on the screen. And to be honest, I don't know where it's located, but it's there. I haven't gotten that many, and I'm not having a call right now. I can't tell you where the hold button is, but it is there, and all you have to do is click that, and what it is, it's like a toggle, and it'll bring the other call back. I did it with Jesse Hernandez the other day. I was talking to him, and I got a call from my wife, and I chatted with her for about 4 or 5 minutes, and then I hung up with her and hit the hold button, came right back, and continued the other conversation.
Like an item chooser like it's done on the Mac.
No, there's not an item chooser. You use the rotor. Most apps is character and word, but on the web, in Safari, it's a character, word, heading, link, visited link, non-visited link, that sort of thing is what the rotor's all about. Having said that, there is room in the future for development of the rotor. They can add anything they want to the rotor. And a third-party developer could certainly turn the rotor into something absolutely fantastic. You never know what the developers could do. Third-party apps can do so much. And look what Saratech has been able to do with what they have. They're amazing. And if you don't believe me, go try System Access to Go. It's absolutely outstanding. And certainly the paid product is better. The rotor could be very, very much improved on, developed on. I can see the developers creating all kinds of different things. For instance, if you're playing a game, it could function as a lever, picking up something, putting down something, turning to the right or to the left, you know, looking around, whatever. I can see many applications for the rotor. So we've just begun, Mike.
Well, I'm going to let you make any final comments you like.
I thank you, first of all, for allowing me to come here and talk to you about the iPhone with such a wonderful entity as Saratech. I would advise and recommend that any Windows user who is perfectly happy in your OS and who's very comfortable in your OS to try any product that Saratech comes out with. Certainly take advantage of these offers that they're giving you. When I'm on the in business doing client work, I use Saratech when I can, and which usually means every time I get on a computer because of the System Access to Go. So thank you for having me. Folks, this is an innovative device. It's a revolutionary device. It's not perfect. It's far from perfect. But contrary to the review that was posted, I and others are using it more than daily, more than hourly. We're using it for all of our mobile and portable needs. And I urge you, if you're in the market for a new phone, to certainly give the iPhone a look and give it a try at your local Apple store. Certainly AT&T probably wouldn't even know how to turn VoiceOver on, but try it at your Apple store. Give it a chance. It is an option. However, if you are comfortable in Windows Mobile, if you are comfortable in Symbian, you're not likely to switch. As if you're Symbian, you're not likely to switch to Windows Mobile. If you're Windows Mobile, you're not likely to switch to Symbian. Same thing goes for the iPhone. There is a learning curve for Windows users who have never interacted with OS 10, or in this case, OS 3. For Mac users, the learning curve is far, far shallower because it works just like the Mac does in most respects, except for the whole gesture-based system. So the learning curve for Windows users is a lot steeper. Give it a try. If you want to try something new, I think it would be a great option for you. Certainly, it is the new phone of choice for myself and many, many others. Thanks to Michael Law for allowing me to come here and participate with you. And I look forward to coming back in the future and hearing more good stuff from Saratech.
Oh, definitely. You want to give contact information where people can reach you?
Yeah, definitely. If you want to email me, please do so at Jack, J-A-C-K, 728, jack728@gmail.com. I'm jack728 on Twitter. You're welcome to follow me. I do tweet a lot. Be sure you want to follow me first. I will talk to you on Twitter. I don't ignore that. I am jack728@gmail.com on Facebook. I'm kadal728 on Skype. That's C as in Charlie, A as in Alpha, D as in Delta, A as in Alpha, L as in Lima, kadal728 on Skype. Feel free to add me. I will talk with you. My website that all my blog entries are and podcast is at blindworldblog.blogspot.com. And you can also look me up in iTunes. Just type in Shane Jackson or type in Blind World Blog, one word, and the podcast will come up in iTunes. If you need information as to how to add it to Juice or Webby or a podcatcher like that, email me and I'll give you the feed info.
You doing muscle sweets on your iPhone?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll be doing that at a convention as well. You'll be here.
I bet you will be. I bet. I even do Facebook on the iPhone. My wife cracks up because I do Facebook on the iPhone.
Yep. Thanks a lot, Shane. Folks, there will be no Tech Chat next week as I will be at ACB in Orlando. However, there should be a lot of, or at least some, new interesting audio that we record along the way. So until we speak again, stay connected and stay directed.